And we've got your Bibles opened already to Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32. Let's read this verse together out loud. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32. Ready? Begin. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I love how Solomon here in this passage, in this one verse, refers to somebody that can control their anger as being better than the mighty. In this day and age, Solomon is writing this, the heroes of the nation, or the idols, the people that everyone looks up to, are the mighty, are the warriors, are the people that portray strength. And Solomon says, if you can control your anger, wow, you are better than the mighty. If you can rule your own spirit, that's more powerful than anybody that can take a city. And he said, basically saying, I don't know how you can do it, but that's pretty amazing. And I think he also touches on something else in this passage as well, that anger touches each one of us. Anger is innate inside of all of us. It's something that we all battle. I battle it. And if we're honest with ourselves, it's something that we all fight. And trying to think of what to title this tonight, I thought of the title GER. It's not really just kind of what my teenage youth pastor mind goes. I told Rebecca I wouldn't name it this, so I won't. But I did think about titling this The Redhead Inside of All of Us. But I won't do that. Now, she's not here tonight, so she's in New Hampshire, but she probably will hear this later. But I'm not gonna entitle it that. But I was reading a little bit about anger this week, and I read a very interesting quote, and it's something simple. I'm sure maybe you've heard it before, but Eleanor Roosevelt said this: anger is one letter away from danger. And so, simply put tonight, the danger of anger. Lord, thank you for this time we have in your word. I pray you please help us in this Bible study tonight, Lord, to open our hearts, to be honest with ourselves. Lord, search us, try us, know our thoughts, see if there be a wicked way in me, Lord, and lead us in the way everlasting. Thank you for your word and how powerful it is. I pray that we'd allow the Holy Spirit to have free course tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To start off tonight, I'd like for us to go back to Genesis chapter 49, a story here about how anger deterred not just an individual, not just two individuals, but a whole group of people. Genesis chapter 49 is Jacob's blessing to his sons, the last words that he is saying to his sons before he dies. A little over a year ago in our Sunday school with the teenagers, we did a study of each of the blessings that Jacob left with each of his sons. And I think I preached one of them in here on a Sunday night on Reuben. Verse number 1 in chapter 49 says this in Genesis: Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. So he's gathering his sons together. Last and final words, and he begins with this firstborn, Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. We know Reuben to be the firstborn, therefore deserve the birthright according to custom. And what Jacob's saying in here is you had so much potential. You were the excellency of power. But then he drops the bomb on him in verse number four. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Thanks, Dad. Thou shalt not excel. That doesn't really sound like a blessing to me. It sounds more like a curse. He goes on to describe in verse number four, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Reuben had such an instability about him. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There was so much potential in Reuben, but he failed. So the birthright was passed on. And though this is the development of the custom, it should have been passed on to the next in line. We get to verse number 5, and we hear the next two sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi. And I want us to take chapter 49, verse 5 and 7 tonight and talk a little bit about how anger touches us, the danger of anger. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob, and scatter them in Israel. This word in the Hebrew, anger, that is used, there's several words in the Old Testament used for anger, but this one specifically is speaking to the rapid breathing in passion, a flaring of the nose, of the nostril, a visible anger. There's also words refer to anger as being indignant or a frothing at the mouth, a fury, a vexation, an outburst of passion. All of that is tied up in what identified Simeon and Levi. And as we get into this study on the topic of anger, this redhead within all of us, I want us to be honest. I ask you to be honest with yourself. I know that as I was studying this week, the Lord convicted me. I know that there's times where I may not be willing to admit that I'm angry, or I want to call it frustration, or I'm a little bit upset, but truthfully, I know what it is in my heart. I'm fighting anger, and that does not please the Lord. That does not please Him at all. So, as we get into this danger of anger, I want us to consider first the characters of anger. We're looking here at Simeon and Levi. Simeon and Levi, their name specifically, their identity. Simeon. In the Hebrew, Simeon means hearing or listening. And we know Simeon to be the second son of Jacob, born to Leah. And the only other thing that we really hear about him specifically in his life is found in chapter 34 of Genesis. Now, keep your finger here in chapter 49, but let's back up to chapter 34 and read a little bit. We'll set some background to this story. We know Jacob. He has all of his sons. He also had a daughter named Dinah. They're journeying in the land. They're beginning to get accustomed to where they are. And there's this family of the man Hamor, who had a son. His name was Shechem. And we don't have time to go through all this passage here, but Shechem took Dinah and defiled her. He raped her. Now, needless to say, that didn't make Jacob very happy. And it didn't make Dinah's brothers very happy either. We get to verse number 25, and this is after they had made a deal, cut a deal, to bind peace between these families. Verse number 25, and it came to pass on the third day, when they were sore, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brethren, took each man his sword and came upon the city boldly and slew all the males. And they slew Hamor and Shechem his son, with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house and went out. Now jump down, if you would, to verse number 30. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, listen to this phrase, what he said to them, ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. You know, it's interesting to me here that Jacob uses the word stink. This, what he's trying to get across to them is, it's not just that you caused me to have a bad name. When people think of me, they equate me with a stink because of your uncontrolled anger. The Lord has, in some way, I guess it's a gift, blessed me with a really strong sense of smell. And that could be a good thing and a bad thing. I love it when I walk into the house at night after a long day at the school and being in a smelly gym with teenagers running around for basketball practice. I walk in, and I can usually tell by my first whiff of air what the night's going to be like. Rebecca's, maybe she's been cooking. Last week she made some kind of soup. I probably should know what it was. It was just good. I walked into the house, and I smelled it, and I thought, oh, it's going to be a good night. And sometimes she'll have a roast on, or sometimes, you know, pizza bagel will be in the oven, and it's like, it's still going to be a good night. Sometimes, though, I'll walk in, and my first whiff is Tegan. Now, Let me back up for a second. Becca is all about, you know, the anointing with oils, the essential oil stuff. Tegan will have those on her feet sometimes, and I don't get it. I'm not up here to yay or nay for essential oils. Some of you are. I am not. I've shared the story. Rebecca will say, oh, you need to put some blah, blah, blah on so that you sleep well tonight. No, I just need to sleep well tonight. I was sitting in the living room, rabbit trail. I was sitting in the living room the other day. My feet were up. And I saw her walking towards me, and she's got her hands. She's kind of rubbing them, and I'm thinking, okay, she's cold. But she has to like ask me, do you want some essential oils? And the answer is always no. But she stopped asking. So she's rubbing her hands, and she's walking by me, and she goes, and just goes really fast. She got the bottom of my feet, and I'm just sitting there like, touche, you got me. But I'll walk in the house. I digress back to this. I walk in the house, and there's that stench of Tegan sometimes. And yet again, it signals what kind of day Rebecca has had and what kind of night I'm about to have. It's been a long day, and she does not want to change that diaper. So I know that if I even want to think about dinner, that I better change that diaper right away. There's that stench. It's there. You know what I'm talking about. That diaper's been rank for about 3 hours. It makes me think about in high school, my buddy Michael and I, we started working for his grandfather and his father, who were pastor, coach, principal, you know, kind of the jack of all trades around our ministry up there in New Hampshire. We started working for them when we were 13. By the time I was 16, I had my license, and we were driving a Chevy pickup truck with a 16-foot trailer, two mowers, a push mower, weed eaters, and we were doing that after school every day. And in the summertime, we would plan our route specifically to go by one of two places at about 11:30, McDonald's or my mom's house, because she would always have lunch ready for us. And his grandfather, Pastor Fuller, had a very crazy gift of smell, and we tried to trick him. He wouldn't care about how the day went when we got back to his house. He wouldn't care, you know, if we broke down, we could have an arm hanging off the wrong way, and he wouldn't care. He'd walk to the cabin. The first thing he would do would just go, and he could immediately tell what we had for lunch that day. He could say, oh, you stopped by McDonald's. Or he could say pancakes or whatever. He could figure out what we had. I remember very vividly, multiple times, he'd walk over, and he'd just go, hey, boys, and he'd sniff. And he'd go, man, you guys stink. So much so that he couldn't tell what we had for lunch. And Michael and I are there just high-fiving. That was job well done. That means we worked hard. And we'd say in our minds, quit whining because we're making you money, that type thing. But we wouldn't say that out loud because we valued our job. But that's the stench that comes to my mind. Now, when we think of the word stink, no doubt, how many of you remember maybe about a little over a year ago, there was a dead deer down by the Sexton's storage units down there. Do you guys remember that? And it sat there for about 3 months. It got worse. Do you remember that? Okay, it was horrible. Absolutely horrible. That's the stench that that Jacob is referring to here when he says to his sons, you have caused my name to stink. You've caused me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. Now, we know this is a familial circumstance here, but in application, I wonder if because of my anger, if I have caused such a reproach on the name of Christ, for somebody to think of me and say, man, that stinks. That's what he's referring to with Simeon and Levi here in chapter 34. And we're talking about these two sons specifically. Let's get back to this. Simeon, his name means hearing. Levi, his name means attached. And both of them, these are the one, chapter 34 is the one place that we hear a specific story about them leading up to Jacob's blessing in chapter 49. Now, let's go in chapter 49, verse number 5. Let's go a little bit further in that verse. Simeon and Levi, the next two words, the Bible says, are brethren. Why does the Bible tell us in a passage of Scripture about the sons of Jacob that Simeon and Levi are brothers? Why is there that that double meaning there. Why are they telling us that twice? Well, it's because this word brethren means a little bit more than just a familial relationship. It signifies specifically a resemblance, a deeper resemblance. Now, we know that Simeon was the older brother, Levi being the younger. And younger brothers tend to have that possibility of wanting to be like bigger brother. I wasn't blessed with brothers, I was blessed with sisters. And I don't know much about that, but I'm sure that just the peer pressure of wanting to be like big brother is there. The Bible says that they are brethren. They were connected not only by family, but they were connected by actions. They acted the same. Their habits were the same. Their attitudes were the same. And I think this challenges us to be very careful. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, to be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Be very, very aware of the powerful influence of peer pressure, of those that you choose to be around. For if you choose to make friends, the Bible talks about, Solomon says this specifically, don't make friends with an angry man. Why? Well, it's because evil communications corrupt good manners. They are brethren. Simeon and Levi are brethren. They're not just brothers. They are the same. They share the same action. Therefore, they share the same punishment. We'll see that here in a little bit. Now, look at this in verse number 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Look at their reputation. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. This word, instruments, they have used what they've been given or have to instrument a violent cause. Their swords specifically in this. The instruments that they had there, this word in the Hebrew refers to a prepared apparatus. Something that had a use, something that had a deliberate, specific use, but they took it and wielded it for their own good, for their own cause. Instruments of cruelty, this unjust violence. So they took something that had an intended purpose and used it for a cruel purpose. Now, as you study these words here, it begins to bring to mind, what do you think our instruments of cruelty are? I'm not walking around with the sword every day. However, the Bible tells me that the words of my mouth can give death and life. Proverbs chapter 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. These instruments of cruelty so often go unchecked. It's used to describe the attitude of their heart, and we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We do all of this. We portray, we push out our instruments of cruelty through our words. Some wise person once said, speak while you are angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret. And that's true, is it not? Our words can be so divisive, so cutting, if we are not careful. Our words can be these instruments of cruelty. But look what the last phrase in that specific sentence is. Instruments of cruelty are in their what? Their habitations. Commonplace. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. They were literally known for being cruel and promoting their own cause over that which was good for those around them. Boy, does that not sound like our words when we get going wrapped up in our anger? These instruments of cruelty that come out of our mouth, we got to be so careful. These characters of anger, Simeon and Levi, they show us something about ourselves. And it shows me that was me sometime today. And you know what? Those words didn't have to come out of my mouth. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The truth is, I fight anger. It may not be that I can fly off the cuff and cuss somebody out, but in my heart, I'm an angry person. The moment of the most anger in my life is when I'm driving. And I'm sure it's the same with you, some of you. I absolutely hate either getting behind somebody slow or getting stuck at a red light that I could have made or traffic, that type of stuff. And it just, Rebecca will tell you, it boils up inside of me and instruments of cruelty portray out of my mouth. And I think that nobody can hear me, but the Lord does. And even if I don't say them, He knows my thoughts. I wonder if it's true of us, if we have those instruments of cruelty. I wonder if I'm like Simeon or Levi. To be angry, this is interesting, to be angry is to revenge the faults of others on ourselves. Alexander Pope said that. It's true that we all can be angry. Now, let's move from the characters of anger, move to the next verse, and consider now the caution. Jacob here, he's blessing, or from what all sense of purposes, he's cursing his sons. And he says in verse number 6, O my soul, specifically reaching out to the sons that are around him. Remember now, he's saying this in front of all of his family, all of his sons. He just finished completely embarrassing Reuben, and now he's doing the same thing to Simeon and Levi. Probably weren't expecting this. So everybody's around. He says, oh my soul, to all of you who are around, listen, please. Come not thou into their secret. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. It's interesting here how he uses the phrases, specifically starting with, oh my soul, come not thou into their secret. Secrets are things that are heard, that are listened to. He specifically refers to Simeon in this verse right here. Simeon's name means hearing. Come not thou into their secret. Don't even listen to that anger. You ever been with somebody when they had that vent session? You know what I'm talking about? You ever been that person who had the vent session? It's so easy for me to justify my vent session. I just got to tell you how horrible this person is, Brother John. Or I just got to tell you how awful, blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about? What Jacob is telling, oh my soul, the rest of his people around him, he's saying, come not thou into their secret. Don't even listen to an angry person. You are doing them a favor by walking away. You see, because anger is such a contagious thing. I've never been able to walk away from an angry conversation where I was listening to somebody spew out their anger and feel okay without having to make sure or stop and pray and make sure my heart's in the right place. Because in the company of anger, Satan has free reign. And in my heart and in my soul, because it is innate, because it is inside of me already at birth, I've got to be so careful. So he says, don't listen to Simeon. Don't be like Simeon. Don't put yourself in a position to where you can hear anger. Then he goes on in verse number 6, he says, unto their assembly. Levi's name means attached or united. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. The Bible tells us in Proverbs, we don't have time to go there, but it tells us in Proverbs, again, do not make friends with an angry man. So he's saying here, sons, push Simeon and Levi away. Don't listen to them. Don't go with them. They're angry. Why? Well, for in their anger, they slew a man. This caution that he's given them, he's telling them, look, they're not like themselves when they're angry. Your brothers killed someone. Anger inside of us, if left unchecked, causes us to act out of character. Inside of me, if I let anger build up, everybody around me can sense it. It's not something that we can deal with on our own. Jacob is cautioning his sons, stay away from it. Don't listen to it. Don't unite yourself with it. For in their anger, they slew a man. And he took it a step further here and says this in verse number 6, and in their self-will, that word self-will in the Hebrew says, it means a pleasure. They got to the point to where their anger was out of control and they went overboard with their anger. They enjoyed it almost. In their self-will, they digged down a wall Now, there's some biblical debate about what that specifically means. We don't necessarily have a specific verse in Scripture that tells us that they destroyed Hamor's city. Some Bible scholars believe that when they went in, they killed the men of Hamor's family, that they destroyed the entire city, that they knocked down that wall as it just for spite, just because, like they hadn't proved their point enough. Some Bible scholars try to dive a little deeper into it and will say that it has nothing to do with the wall. In fact, the word used here has to do with their oxen and their horses, and they literally went about their fields and hamstrung or snapped the Achilles or snapped the hamstrings of all of their cattle. Regardless of what it means there, the Bible's telling us this. They wasted an opportunity. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing a family that could have made peace, that actually had begun to make peace. Jacob had settled a dispute, had made peace with this family, and his sons go and completely ruin any chance for that to come full circle and for there to be healing. Not only did they kill the family, but they just destroyed everything in their path. You know, it's amazing. When I get angry and I'm left unchecked, that's a very fast snowball out of control. All of us have different temperaments, but we all battle anger. We all portray it differently. You may not be the punch the hole in the wall type person, but you might be the grind your teeth type person. Regardless of how you portray your anger, it's still wrong. And this verse here shows us the caution Jacob's telling his son. Look, his sons, this is what happens when you let anger get out of control. It's so contagious. Be very, very careful. Don't be naive. He said, this is why my name stinks. And you know what? God is telling us the same thing. He's given us the commission to be ambassadors for him. We are to be Christ to those around us. But so often people around us see our anger, see how we react to one another, we don't even have to say anything. See our facial expressions, hear our tone and how we refer to one another, listen to us gossip about one another, and all they have to think is, that's being a Christian? That stinks. Jacob's not just saying that to his sons. God's saying it to us. My name stinks in the land. When I am angry, I'm not angry to myself. Now, I am bringing consequences onto myself. Solomon talks about he that diggeth a pit shall fall therein. It's going to come back to bite me. But anger touches so many people other than just me. It affects those around me. Look at the next verse number 7. The curse. We got the characters, the caution, and now the curse. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. You know what's hard to understand in this is that it seems so justifiable. Their anger, what they took out on these men, this family, I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time blaming them. If it was my family, if somebody did that to my family, I can't say right now that I'd be any different or that I'd feel any different. It was justifiable in our fleshly mind. Sure, I'm going to stand up for my family. Sure, I'm going to take it out on them. So what? I went a little overboard. But it's still sin. That out of control anger. And Jacob says to his sons here, cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Look at the next phrase here. This is the curse. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. He's referring to specifically their land portions and lack of land portions, their future blessing and lack of future blessing. From here on, we don't ever hear of the tribe of Simeon doing very much. In fact, there's not a religious leader. There's not a a nation or even a tribe leader mentioned throughout the rest of the Old Testament from the tribe of Simeon. Their land portion was given to them in Joshua chapter 18 through 20 was very small. They were promised it and they were given it, but it was very small. In fact, it was completely enclosed by the tribe of Judah. And the Bible, the story of the children of Israel gives testament to the fact that the tribe of Simeon dwindles very, very quickly till there's almost nothing left of them. Verse number seven, I will divide them in Jacob. That was the tribe of Simeon. And I will scatter them in Israel. You know the one tribe, the one son of Jacob that did not receive a land portion was Levi. Levi was scattered throughout all the tribes' lands. I will scatter them in Israel. That was the curse that he gave them. And it would be so sad if that's where this story ended. Bow your heads, close your eyes, boom, you're cursed. You know, that's the end of your anger. But that's not it. There's something amazing that happens in the Song of Moses. If you'll take your Bibles and go with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Now Moses here, he further stamps in here specifically that the tribe of Simeon, they're just done. In this blessing that Moses gives to the 12 tribes, the tribe of Simeon is not even mentioned. He completely passes over them. But look what he says in verse number 8. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. Moses reverses that curse, and look at this blessing he gives them. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Why is that? Why is it that Levi now has a blessing? And if we were to go to Numbers chapter 18, we don't have time to go there necessarily, but Numbers chapter 18 tells us specifically that Levi's portion of inheritance would be God. The leaders here tell them, God is your inheritance. You will be the spiritual servants of the children of Israel from here on out. And I believe that it has to do with what we find in Exodus chapter 32. If you'd go with me, Exodus chapter 32. I know we're moving around a little bit, but there's point to it. Exodus chapter 32, we have the story of Moses. He's up on the mountain. He comes down with the commandments, and he sees the children of Israel with Aaron. Now remember, Aaron is a Levite. Moses is also of the tribe of Levi. And all these people are worshiping this golden idol. We're not going to read through the whole passage, but it's sin. Okay? They got tired of waiting, they made a golden calf, and they got a little carried away. So here comes Moses. In chapter 32, verse number 24. Nope, excuse me, not verse number 24. Chapter 32, verse number 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp. At this point, Moses, he's heartbroken. He sees what the children of Israel have done. And he says, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Almost as if, is there anybody? Is there anybody left that is not doing this? Please, Lord, who's on the Lord's side? Just come unto me. And look who came. Look at verse number 26. And all the sons of who? Levi. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Now there's a chain from here to where we just were in chapter 33 that connects this this point. We've got the characters of anger. Got the caution. We've got the curse. But now we've got our choice. We've got our choice. Can I tell you this? Though we have different temperaments, anger is still a choice. That reaction, though it may be justified, is still sin. I would love to call it righteous indignation. But I know better than that. I know truthfully I'm just trying to justify my fleshly reaction. Moses here calls to the tribe of, to the tribes, who's on the Lord's side? And all, I love that word there, all the sons of Levi. Obviously minus Aaron, but all the sons of Levi joined themselves to him and carried out the work that God had to cleanse the camp of this sin. They had a choice. Simeon represents to us the forgotten nature of the son of Jacob who didn't get it right. Or a child of God who battles anger and their reactions. Call it frustration. Call it being mad. Call it being upset. Whatever it is. Simeon represents that child of God who has not gotten a hold on their choice of anger. Would rather just let her fly than hold it back. Remember what Solomon said? Man, he recognized how hard it was because of his comparison to somebody who could control their anger to a mighty person. He said, it's so amazing to me. Somebody who can control their anger, in my mind, is greater than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. He understood how hard that is, but he also understood it was a choice. Simeon represents those of us who we know we struggle with anger, but we choose to just brush it aside. It's not going to affect anybody else. It's not going to hurt me. I'm okay feeling this way. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. And you know what? It may not necessarily be in that reaction. You know, anger is in so much of how we act. We just don't call it anger. Anger is in our pride. Anger is in our selfishness. You know, anger is in pouting. Anger can be in gossip. Anger can be in so much of our day. We just don't call it anger. I'll be honest with you, it's because I don't want to think of myself as an angry person. In my mind, I'm thinking of angry people, and no, I'm not like them, so I must not be an angry person, but that's not so. That anger is inside my heart. I don't know my heart. Do you know your heart? Who can know it? The Bible says. It's so deceitful. It's desperately wicked. That anger hides in the corner of my heart. And in that moment when I am done wrong, in that moment when somebody says something that just kind of turns me the wrong way, anger flares its ugly head. And before I know it, I am spiraling out of control. I'm beyond the character. I'm beyond the caution. I'm in the curse. And I'm at the point of decision. I'm at that point of choice. We can choose to be like Simeon and end up with the testimony of Simeon, faded, not used. The tribe of Simeon didn't do very much in the history of Israel. An angry Christian can't do much in the army of God. We're hindered, we're handicapped by that anger. Or we could choose to be like Levi. Now, we obviously know Levi, the Levites, the protectors of the temple, the orchestrators of God's worship in the camp of Israel. Why? Who's on the Lord's side? Now, I got to believe this too. I got to believe that we serve a God of grace, a God of mercy, who chooses to bless. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed this week, even though I didn't deserve that blessing. I've been shown mercy this week, even though I don't deserve that mercy. God set a specific inheritance, a portion aside, for the tribe of Levi. And I believe he blessed them for choosing to be on the Lord's side. For choosing in that moment. You know what? Moses could have acted in anger there. He could have lashed out. He could have destroyed everything. He could have walked away completely from God. Read that story, though. Yes, he was frustrated. Yes, he broke the tablet. There's so many parts of that story that connect with anger. But God was in that. God was in that reaction. God used the tribe of Levi because they stood for the Lord. I wonder if in our life, I know this isn't really like an amen type message, but I wonder if in my life, if there's that sense of anger that's left unchecked. If I have passed over, just let it kind of ride, let it play out. So-and-so did me wrong, but you know what? It's okay. It's just, I wonder if that's true. You know what? If that's true in my heart, then I'm handicapped. And if I'm not careful, I will end up like the tribe of Simeon. Forgotten. Not being able to show forth the glory of God. Kind of in a ho-hum routine of borderline Christianity, never able to rise above the level of my anger. The thing about anger is it takes an honest, humble look inside of us to find it. Allowing the Lord to shine that light, to hold that candle to the part inside of me that I'm just not willing to let go of, and allowing Him to do His work in my heart. They were an angry duo, I guess you could say, these two sons. And the birthright passed them over too because of this. This choice that we have to be angry is something we face every day. Can I encourage you that God will honor the choice to stop and to ponder and to use prudence in how you react to situations. I love the word prudence. I'm not good at the word prudence, but I love the word prudence. And Solomon uses it so wisely in the book of Proverbs. Prudence is referring to thinking beyond a decision to the consequences or the blessings. Stopping, taking a moment. Some very wise people have said, if you're angry, count to 10. If you're very angry, count to 100. Everybody's got their wait a year, wait a day. Wait. Everybody has that. But Solomon uses this word prudence very, very wisely in the book of Proverbs. And what he's saying is this, before you make any decision, before you react in the moment, which, if we're honest, we all like to do. We're all pretty good at doing it at times. Before we do that, stop and think. Levi or Simeon? Where do I want my life to end up? Do I want somebody to walk by me and think, oh, he causes God's name to stink? Because I'm telling you, my anger, your anger, will bring a reproach on the name of Christ. Maybe we got away with it today, but it's not going to last long. Next time that redhead inside of you rears its ugly head, think about this. Simeon or Levi? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 16 and read this verse together again. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 32. Ready? Begin. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Simeon or Levi? Lord, thank you for this time you've given us to be